The Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, is designed to open up trade between the U.S. and 11 other Pacific Rim countries, Japan, Vietnam, Australia, New Zealand, Peru, Brunei, Malaysia, Singapore, and Chile, plus Canada and Mexico. It would cut taxes on imports, we call those tariffs, and attempt to enforce new labor and environmental standards for participants. The TPP has taken a beating on the campaign trail, where candidates say it's the kind of deal, like Bill Clinton's North American Free Trade Act, or NAFTA, that led Indianapolis's carrier company to seek cheaper labor in Mexico while still shipping its products back to the U.S.
But overall, that's not what happens when we talk about these trade agreements.
Andrew Berger is vice president of governmental affairs for the Indiana Manufacturers Association. He says the trade group's member businesses are generally in favor of the TPP.
By and large, lower trade barriers is a good thing for manufacturers in Indiana and the United States.
Berger says Indiana exports a lot of cars, pharmaceuticals, heavy machinery, and other products around the world already.
But to have the access in those countries basically made less expensive through the reduction of tariffs and things like that, which is what free trade agreements do, I mean, that's all to the positive for Indiana manufacturers.
Rick Booker works with the United Steelworkers Union, which represents the people that work for those manufacturers.
I don't know how they can take that stance. That's the problem. They're exporting everything, our jobs.
He says that's what happened with the laid-off carrier workers and thousands more.
We're not saying trade's bad, but the trade deals today are bad. There's currency manipulation. There's state-owned industries. You got environmental issues.
He says government subsidies and less regulation on industry overseas makes it harder for American businesses to compete without outsourcing. And he argues that the TPP's enforcement provisions aren't strong enough to keep the playing field level. But others, like the Manufacturers Association, say automation has killed more jobs than trade. And either way, there's a bigger problem. Not enough workers trained to fill the higher tech jobs that remain. Indiana Chamber of Commerce spokesman Tom Schumann also notes that Indiana is uncommonly reliant on foreign investment. Think Subaru, a Japanese company making cars in Lafayette. In 2012, almost 100,000 Indiana manufacturing jobs were funded by foreign-owned businesses. That's nearly twice the national average.
The chamber and others certainly feel that isolating the United States and not being part of the global economy is not the way to go.
And there's another sector with a lot riding on free trade, agriculture. Indiana is eighth in the nation for the value of its ag exports, mainly soybeans, corn, and pork. Indiana Farm Bureau policy advisor Kyle Klein says they support the TPP because it would give farmers cheaper access to countries where a growing middle class has more money to spend on a better diet. So he says they could export more pork for people and soybeans for livestock and use more corn to feed hogs at home. All that, he says, would create jobs that would stay in the U.S. Crops and livestock have to be produced and processed closer together than, say, steel and cars.
And then, of course, as farms expand, you'll see on-farm hires increase as well.
Klein argues that free trade represents a growth opportunity for the small and medium-sized businesses that produce 85% of Indiana's exports, agricultural and otherwise.
We grow things in Indiana and we build things in Indiana. Agriculture and manufacturing are the two key sectors that form our economy. And, we're ever increasingly reliant on international trade for our success.
It's just not clear if Congress will find the TPP a help or a hindrance in that effort. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Annie Ropeek.